Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. If you had an opportunity to tune in last weekend, then you're aware that my very special guests were Pastor Pete Baker and Pastor Marcelo Rodriguez, part of the pastoral staff at Alta Vista Assembly Church here in Bakersfield. And I'm very pleased to share with you they were with me once again this morning here in the studio. Good morning, guys, and welcome back.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you again, Pastor.
We are going to continue our conversation, which largely focused on homosexuality and the church. And I'd like to begin with turning our attention first and foremost to God's Word. If God only gave us one scripture that contradicted homosexual practice, don't you think that would be enough for dedicated, faithful followers of Christ to know and embrace the truth that this is a behavior not unlike many others that God says no man or woman is to practice? Now, we know there's more than one, but even if it was just one, would that not be enough to tell someone, okay, this is a behavior in which I am not to practice?
For a dedicated follower, yes. But there's all kind of people that are on the spectrum of following. Some more dedicated than others. For the dedicated follower, yes, a scripture would be enough. That's part of the problem is so many people that claim to be Jesus followers really are not, they're not really conversant with His Word. They're biblically illiterate. And that's the tragedy of our day. I mean, the Word says that people fall away for lack of the knowledge of the Word, so which is sad because it's so readily available today. But the dedicated follower, yes, would accept just one verse. I think the important thing when you're talking about God's Word and the power of God's Word to inform how we think or our behavior is to recognize that while the Bible is informative, it tells you things that you would not have otherwise known. Apart from the data and the facts and history and all of that, it is informative, but more than informative, the Word of God is to be transformative. It's to change us. It's to mold us. But the only way that can happen is if we take it in, if we ingest it. Because as we bring the Word of God into our thinking, into our conscious life, our unconscious life, it molds us because what happens is your mind and your spirit are molded around the things you put into it.
Yes.
Take the shape of. And that can only happen if we bring the Word of God into our lives.
To transform us, absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Also, I would submit to protect us. I would really, really submit that one reason why God has been so crystal clear in His Word, again, there are certain behaviors He does not want us to practice, He's trying to protect us from unseen danger. Now, we know He's given us free will choice. We can still know the truth of His holy boundary lines or live with Him, but we still have a choice to make, don't we?
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah.
We can step over those lines and...
A soldier doesn't have to put his helmet on.
Oh, good point. Good point. So we can, by our own disobedience and rebellion, we can bring the possibility of some pretty horrific consequences our way. It wasn't His plan, His will. We just took life into our own hands.
Correct.
So transform us, yes, and protect us also. You agree?
Sure.
Yeah, but also I think, like, we all have the Holy Spirit, and, like, I think one of his job is to give us conviction. So when somebody comes to me, because it's so easy for us to, as ministers, to tell people, don't do this, don't do that. But at the end of the day, we are not there to see them. We are not there to watch over them. So when somebody come and ask me, can I do this or can I do that? Do you think it's okay? I said, how do you feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
So put it on them, not on me. I'm not the one telling you not to do it, but your conscience. What is your conscience? Your conscience telling you? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? How do you feel when you do these things? So it's kind of like I'm answering with a question when people come to me and ask me those questions.
One of the principles, you know, I've tried to practice as a pastor is to instruct people in how they should live as little as possible, but as much as possible to expose them to the presence of the Holy Spirit. To let them know that there is a Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's role is. For instance, I do not think in all these years that I've ever told anybody to stop drinking, stop smoking, stop very much of anything. But have there been people who've stopped all those things and more? Sure. But it's the Holy Spirit who does the work.
Absolutely. The transformation work of the Holy Spirit.
Much better than I might.
Yeah, because he's going to give us power over all our bondage that we have.
Yes.
So what is, when somebody is struggling with something, my question will be like, how's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Like, yes. How's this turning into the truth?
And that was true, again, in my own life, as I shared in the other broadcast, had it not been for a senior pastor and associate pastor, that these two incredible men had never read a book on coming out of homosexuality and never gone to a workshop or a conference. They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a life.
Right.
What a concept, huh?
And they knew the Holy Spirit could do it because the Spirit had been allowed in their lives to do that. That's
yes.
The only way you can know that sort of thing. And I would wager that those men did not, while they may have introduced you to scriptures that talked about same-sex attraction, they didn't beat you over the head with them like a cudgel.
That's right.
But they let you see them. Probably commented very little, and then the Holy Spirit did the work.
Excellent point. We focused much more on the answer than the problem. I knew what the problem was. I was looking for answers.
Yeah, don't tell me. I know.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Got the T-shirt. Let's talk a little bit about those today that are identifying when they make the statement, I am a gay Christian. Now, right out of the chute, I got to tell you guys, I can't even begin to get my head around that. First and foremost, as we said, and we spoke a little bit about in the previous broadcast, as Christians, our identity is in Christ, not our sexuality. And what troubles me and what grieves me today is that most men and women, when they say they're a gay Christian, they're literally saying, I am free to practice homosexuality. Now, that's not true of all men and women, but I would say the majority. As faithful followers of Christ, in terms of sexual expression, we've only got two options. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one and remaining faithful to one another, and living within those holy boundary lines of matrimony till death do they part as a marriage vow state. That's option one. And option two really revolves around a question, and the question being, are you single? Yep. You're not to be sexually active, period. Now, how do you get around that?
Well, you don't get around the Word of God. I mean, it's fairly clear, and I think that's why so much effort has gone into people trying to explain away the Word of God or pull it out of context or, as you said last week, cause it to say things it's not saying. A lot has been invested in that because the Word of God is so clear. It's really not muddy on some of these issues. It's... You can't get around it. What we can do is present it, and at the same time, we can still affirm people. We can still tell the truth and still affirm somebody, not in their sin, not in this case, their homosexual behavior, but we can affirm them as fellow human beings. And I think that's very key. And sometimes I think that's what's lacking on our end,
mm-hmm.
is affirming people who may be very different, who are other, you're still a fellow human being.
Those that make the statement or offer the identity package, if you will, of gay Christian, I can appreciate and understand a Christian saying, look, I love God, I'm purposed to follow him, but I struggle with the temptation of same-sex attraction. I get that. I can understand that. But for a man or woman to say, no, my identity is gay Christian, first and foremost, you're putting your sexuality before Christ. That should tell a person, I would think, I'm off course here. But for a Christian to say, look, I struggle with the temptation of same-sex attraction, I get that. I mean, we all struggle with various things. None of us are totally exempt from struggles in life. This is just one area of struggle.
Well, somebody said, I can't remember who, that the invitation to follow Christ is an invitation to come and die. And I think I mentioned it last week that the thing Jesus is after is not our gifts, but he's after our right to ourselves. And if we can surrender our right to ourselves, that obviously includes everything, including our sexuality.
And that may be the greatest struggle in life, the surrender of our will.
Right, because we fancy ourselves little gods.
Yes.
The original sin is idolatry.
Me. There's a word for that, idolatry.
There you go.
Well, I think like when somebody's saying that, you have to ask some questions. And one of the questions I will ask is like, who is saying that? You know, because we need to know where those things are coming from. Because someone that is struggling with their sexual identity, they already have so much confusion going on there by itself. So now I will ask some questions like, who is saying that? And also the most important question is, who is God saying you are?
Yes. I am so glad you're here. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Sure.
But I have a question specifically for you. Because during the 25-year history of His Way Out, I have met and talked with many, many Hispanic men and women that struggled with same-sex attraction, many Hispanic parents with gay-identified children, and I've always been struck over these many, many years that in Hispanic families in particular, when the news surfaces that a child is struggling with homosexuality or lesbianism, it seems to be to Hispanic parents in particular, particularly devastating. Can you shed some light on that? I mean, that has been my experience.
Well, yeah, in Mexico, some places, like if you, there is not allowed, like they will kill you in some places, especially in the south.
In Mexico.
I had a cousin in Mexico, in Ensenada, and they killed him because he was homosexual. And in some places, it's not acceptable. So I think it's more like a fear, you know, like what's going to happen to my son if he is going this way? Is he going to have problems at work? Is he going to be rejected? Is he going to die? So I think that's kind of part of the devastation for a Hispanic person.
Well, you mean fear for his safety.
But yeah. And I think that's one of the things. And it's not more like because a lot of the Hispanics, they practice that. It's common in Mexico that the adults practice that. But they don't just share it. They don't say anything. You know, it's something that they do when they drink or something, and it's not something they will share. But it's devastating for a mom, especially to have a kid that is gonna be gay or is gonna have a same sex attraction. That is what's gonna happen to my son.
I see. Is there also the expectation that, especially with a son, I mean, the parents are viewing the son as he's going to get married and have children, and all of a sudden now, what do you mean you're gay? And their bubble is immediately burst.
Yeah, and also there are some expectations. You as a Hispanic, you have to behave certain way, you have to talk certain way, you have to dress certain way, so you have to match all these things to be accepted. So it's like a more like a problem of, like, is my son's going to be accepted?
I see.
So they don't. Who wants their sons to be rejected? You know, even if you're playing a game, and they tell you, "Oh, your son is not playing, or he sucks at playing baseball," then you, as a parent, you already like get mad, or you experience all these emotions. Now think about it. Society is gonna not accept your kid, and what's gonna happen to him? So I think that's more like the acceptance problem.
And I would submit, I would think, compounding the whole crisis is, especially with Christian parents, we're Christians. How could this be happening to us? We didn't sign up for this. What's the deal? I mean, that just makes it even more intense. Am I right?
Yeah, let's get mad at God.
Pardon me?
Let's get mad at God.
It's all his fault.
Yeah.
Born into a fallen world, struggling with a sinful nature. Newsflash, we're all broken.
That's right.
And our brokenness is going to manifest in some form or fashion. For some of us, For some of us, it manifests in an issue of same-sex attraction. But that said, we're all composites of past life experiences. I mean, what ultimately sent me down a pathway of a struggle with same-sex attraction can be very different than the next person. We can't just say, here's why you're struggling with this, because each person is unique. Pete, you can say something?
Well, this has been an eye-opener for me. I did not know Marcelo was Hispanic.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Film at 11. Thank you, Reverend Baker. You did not know, but now you know.
There we go.
Let's talk a little bit about how I would submit that some Christians on the subject matter of homosexuality, it seems as though many today, their ultimate goal is to win the argument rather than reaching to or connecting with the individual. And I would submit, again, kind of pointing back to our discussion earlier about discipleship, I really think if we're going to really connect with people, you want to connect? Listen, listen, listen. I always strongly encourage, and when we're trying to, once again, reason with people, I think one of the best first steps forward is to say, you know what? Tell me your story. I guarantee you that if you approach men and women that way, especially those struggling with same-sex attraction, and they see that you're genuinely concerned about them, you're asking for them to share their story, you got their attention, and it speaks volumes. What do you think?
Right. I mean, everybody's unique. Everybody's different. I think, again, when it comes to believers talking to somebody struggling with same-sex attraction or about the topic, have such definite convictions that they lead with those convictions. It's fine to have convictions. But it devolves into just an argument so often when you forget you're talking to a human being who's struggled, who's had joy, who knows what it is to fail, who knows what it is to, you know, experience good things. And so you're talking to somebody who's way different than you, but is very similar than you. And lose sight of that, and what you've done is turned a human being into a project.
Yeah, and also, like, I like the word you use, story, because Pastor Pete is pretty good telling stories, and that's what I see on his preachings. When he's preaching, he's telling you a story after a story, and also you see Jesus telling stories. So I think it's good what you said, let me hear your story.
Yes.
And now you're going to hear my story. Because if you read in the Bible, what Paul was doing every time he was preaching, he was not arguing with theology. He was just telling, this is my encounter with Jesus. This is what happened to me. Because that's the most powerful thing you have, your testimony, and nobody can argue with that.
And I think the twist of this also, when we say, please tell me your story, we're asking the individual to be honest and vulnerable and transparent with us. Are we willing to do the same? People today are really looking for something that's real. And I think sometimes those in the gay community, they have this view of Christians that we're holier than thou, we have no issues, and nothing could be further from the truth. But that is a view many hold in the gay community. So when we say, tell me your story, you're inviting them in. It's no longer an us versus them. It's let's talk. Right. And I think it's very powerful.
Right.
It's very powerful.
And you want to be very careful not to let their impression that you are perfect be because they're seeing that in you. They're reflecting back something that you're feeding them. So you're right. You know, in that dialogue, it's only good conversation if it's honest.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, like, when you think about on the way we connect with people, when you share others your victories, I mean, it's good that you're doing good, you know, but when you share with others your failures and your struggles, now you got my attention. I want to hear that.
Absolutely. And let's be frank and honest. I mean, we all don't live life perfectly. We're all in process. You start talking about process, you're talking about an element of time. We're all in process of becoming more and more like Christ, and that's a process that's going to continue in our lives till we go home to be with him or he comes back to get us. So what am I saying? Relax and enjoy the journey, brother and sister, because it's ongoing. Let's talk a little bit about a particular scripture passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. That particular passage points very clearly to, in the list of various behaviors that are offered there, homosexuality being one, as a behavior, again, not like other behaviors, that God says no one is to practice. So we know, according to that passage, that, again, to the clarity of Scripture, that God has spoken on this subject matter. But let's go a bit further. Verse 11 says, and this is what some of you were. Past tense points to the reality of change. But today in particular, a lot of individuals are challenging, can a homosexual really change? And that causes me to kind of scratch my head, because God's already said it is possible. But many today are saying it's not. Why do you suppose we're facing this right now?
Well, I would encourage listeners to go and look that scripture up, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And as you tick through the different types of people he's talking about, the different life-controlling situations that people have come out of, because he says about all of them, such were some of you, not just singling out the homosexual, but there are a variety of behaviors in there. You were that, but you're not that now in Christ. It gives you a picture of how Paul must have founded that church at Corinth, this ecclesia, this group of called out ones. He must have drug the net through the streets of Corinth and picked up every kind of person you can imagine, and some you can't. But they all experience a transformation when they come in contact with the reality of Jesus Christ dying for them in their behalf and including them in who God is. It transforms people. So when somebody says, well, all except the homosexual, it's not consistent with Scripture, but it's not consistent with experience. Because I'm sitting here in this studio with at least one person who's been transformed. And so to say that the homosexual is the exception, you know, to the such were some of you clause, is simply not accurate.
And there's all kinds, there's all levels, all various elements of change. And I would submit, I mean, the greatest change anyone can experience is to know your eternal destination has been changed from hell to heaven, to know you're in right standing with God, that when you leave this planet, you're going to be with him throughout eternity. But a lot of Christians today, their expectation, if not their demand with regard to change for the homosexual, is that man or woman must move fully from homosexual to heterosexual. That has happened in the lives of some men and women, but not all. Some still experience temptation from time to time. Some find
different.
A daily grind on this. But they have experienced change. Again, we're back to they're still in process.
Yeah, and I like the word practice. I think that the word practice in that verse is key, because that's my question. Like, are you practicing or what? Where are you at? Because it's like I have some friends that are in rehab, and I read a lot of the material. And a lot of the material, like, it's for them to know that even if they relapse, how they're going to cope coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a key question for me. Like, are you practicing this? Because if you are just once in a while, you are struggling with this, that you're fighting, you're going. Because I think it's like one of my pastors put it this way. He said, do you practice soccer? Because if you practice soccer, you are committed. You're exercising. That's your life. You're doing it often. But if you play once in a while, then that means you're not practicing.
Yes.
So I think right now, as we are speaking, I think there is people in the church that are not practicing, but they're struggling with. And I think we're not addressing that into the church because we're so scared to talk about it.
And many of these men and women are sitting in church and they're terrified someone's going to pick up on what they're struggling with. And what's a horrific tragedy is many are suffering in silence needlessly.
Well, and part of what they're suffering is self-condemnation, right?
Yes, and the shame factor.
when there's a failure, they made a determination to change, and then they go backwards, and there's that self-condemnation that comes. But just like the experience is deeply personal, the change that will take place is deeply personal in each life too. And the degree at which they change or the speed at which they change is all going to be deeply personal. Every Christian, I've noticed this down through the years, is really bothered because I don't pray enough.
Hmm.
I don't pray enough. I should pray more, and I don't pray enough. every believer will say that. But the reality is, when you think about it, the desire to pray more, that is itself a prayer. And so while people measuring on the outside may not see huge incremental change, there could be things going on inside the person whereby they are making steps toward change, toward Christ, when it comes to their sexuality as well, because it's very deeply personal.
And it's very easy to get fixed on the outward appearance of what the individual is still experiencing or going through. And we can't see what's going on in the inside.
Not at all.
Yeah, and I like the verse too, because it says, such were you. I think that's, we're going back to gay Christian. I think such were you, but that's not who you are right now.
And this is what some of you were. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, very, very powerful verse, points to the truth and reality that thousands of years ago, before the Bible was really even in print, men and women who struggled with same-sex attraction, they saw it resolved in their life. They moved on in the relationship with Christ. So for people to say change is not possible, God says it is, first and foremost. That's what we've got to hold on to, the truth of what
it
he
happened
has said.
In the streets of Corinth, it can happen here.
Exactly.
And these letters were written to the church, not to the unbeliever. The Corinthians letter was written to the church, so which means that back then they were having problems. How are we doing today?
Somebody you think it's in better? The church was struggling.
Yeah.
Believers.
Yeah.
Correct. Were struggling. Before we run out of time, and we're closely nearing that point, I want to give you both, please, an opportunity to pray for those who are listening, maybe a family, maybe an individual struggling. You may want to pray for the church. I'd like you to pray. You just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Would you please take your time?
Sure. You can go first.
Father, we just bless everybody that is struggling right now, Father, and we just want to encourage them. And I pray, Father, that you will send people around there that they can be free, Father, and they can just be have friends, Father. And I just pray that you will send those people, those mentors, those disciples, Father. And that's my prayer for them, Father. They will find those role models in the name of Jesus. I pray, amen.
Father, I come alongside Marcelo's prayer, and I just ask that you would allow your son to wrap those nail-scarred hands around lives that are hurting, that are wounded, that are questioning. They may have been caught up in the behavior that we're talking about today. They may have been ripple affected by it. They're in a family. We just ask, Lord, that you would be healer and helper, and that on the timetable that you have described, you would begin to work in people's lives, and there would be a yieldedness and a willingness to follow hard after you. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Pete, Pastor Marcelo, thank you both so much for all that you've contributed, not only this morning, but the previous weekend before. Greatly appreciate you both. For all of our listeners, once again, the His Way Out Ministries broadcast is every Saturday morning, same time, same station here on KERI, 7:30 a.m. We'll be back again next week, and we pray that until then, our Lord will richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.